world of despair. Recession's happening. There is one beacon of light. That is the Second Funniest Podcast. You're listening to it right now with your hosts, the Kevin Miller and Justin Worsham. Have fun, guys.
Well, thank you, Sam. Hello and welcome to the Second Funniest Podcast. I am your host, Justin Worsham. This is episode number 515. I am correct. With me, as always, is the one, the only, the man who could only come in with one horse in a one-horse town. He is not the horse, but the horse whisperer in the one-horse town. The one, the only, the KevinMiller.com. Jump and press the circle button, Kevin.
That was quite easily the most complex introduction you've ever given me.
Listen, you're an onion, and I need the people to know it.
Peel the layers back.
That's just the way it's got to be. Why can't there be another fruit, a.k.a. vegetable, that could be have layers, like an onion?
Cakes.
Cakes have layers.
What else has layers?
But I'm thinking like a natural onion, substance.
An onion really, really has layers. Like, it's obnoxious.
But is it good? Like, here's the thing. Here's what's wrong with that analogy is that it does not get more... Like, I feel like it doesn't get more oniony the more closer you get to the center.
You know, what might work...
It's not like each layer tastes differently.
Right.
A jawbreaker is a better example.
Oh, yeah.
Than layers an onion like as far as complex.
You know, the garlic, I think, is fascinating because it's like the little things inside that you think you have a garlic and then really you have several pods of garlic.
Yes.
But maybe that just creeps me out like sci-fi alien stuff.
Yeah.
But you know what would be a better analogy is broccoli.
Okay.
Because the broccoli is a constantly dividing organism. So if you look, imagine a stalk of broccoli in your head, right? So and then so you reach in and you grab one of the like broccoli parts and break it off.
Yeah.
If you compare the two, the big broccoli stalk to the little broccoli stalk, they're the same object, just grown out bigger. You do it again, you take that one little broccoli and you take a little thing. You can compare. They're the exact same thing. It goes down like four layers before you get to an actual like bud of broccoli, which gets stuck in your teeth.
See, I think that makes broccoli the vegetable of tangents because it, you know, it's on constant
inches.
Like I think,
they're identical. Same thing.
Yeah, if we were going to compare me to a vegetable, I would say broccoli because every 2 years I either move or change jobs.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
But I'm always the same person. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that would be a good like if we're making a teen angst film about me, that would be good
for
the girl.
Your introduction would be like, the man that has more vitamin D than necessary.
No, that's not me.
The vegetable of humans.
Yeah.
The splinter of tangents that gets stuck in your teeth.
Yeah.
The broccoli worship.
I would say it would have to be the broccoli of conversation in life would be a good thing to put on my business card.
I think you're right, because I don't even know what we're talking
about
anymore.
Here's what I think, right. Because I've taken us in a different direction than what we originally intended.
But it looks the same.
But I think also it's kind of good for you. Like, I feel like if you ate nothing but broccoli, sure, you would have no focus. There would be no direction in your life other than your focus on broccoli.
Yeah.
But everybody could agree that it's good to have somebody who gets a little tangential in your life to be around to keep things interesting. Now, maybe that's the way I'm spending it. I don't know. But
no one does.
What
we don't have the technology.
I do know that if you hang around with me and have enough meals, I probably will make you gassy. I also know that. I also know that I will do some kind of nausea situation on a pregnant woman. Yeah. I can have that ability.
Is broccoli,
or on women in general.
I think broccoli is...
Natalie had a thing, so
yeah,
I
don't think that's...
I put it out to
that's
everybody.
Not a universal... Ellen DeGeneres had that great bit on her comedy album for a while of, like, packed in there by, like, sardines, kind of asking the same big, important questions you are. Yeah. Like, why is there only one standard metaphor? And she said that things should be packed in there like pickles.
Oh!
She's like, have you ever tried to get something out of a pickle jar, like a pickle? They're impossible.
Yeah.
So she said you have to use the pickle claw, and she makes this little like I don't know, lobster claw, and she's trying to grab it. She said it was also the same motion you make when you try to grab toilet paper from the toilet paper dispenser in a public restroom. It's just upside down.
Yeah.
It's the pickle. She's like, pickle
like
claw,
it.
Toilet paper, pickle claw, toilet
paper. I figured
paper.
Out the vegetable that is better than an onion.
Ah.
The artichoke. Yeah,
here's it's why. Like, yeah.
The outer layer mm-hmm. is also a food, mm-hmm. but it's when you get to the heart that tastes different.
There's a part, like, there's a chunk of the artichoke that's pointy on top, so not total food. But then there's also, like, when you bring that down to the middle part, there's, like, a part of it that's, like, spiky. Yeah. You ever try to eat that part that's right before the heart of the artichoke?
Yep.
It'll hurt you.
Yeah. You gotta get down to the heart, and then that's something you could throw on a pizza, but you can't put those petals on a pizza.
So my first date with who is now my wife, she got the artichoke dip, thinking that it would be like artichoke dip, and
like
it was.
She would get to dip petals into some.
No,
kind of
the
sauce,
other or? Thing, like spinach artichoke.
Yeah.
So it was that, but it was laced with artichoke leaves, like ready to eat, and then you
as
could,
a presentation.
Yeah, and then you were supposed to like dip the artichoke dip with the artichokes and like do the regular drag the how you're supposed to eat artichokes. She literally had no idea what to do, and I think I can't remember. She'd get her in here to recount it for me, but I have a feeling she either asked, "Am I supposed to eat this and put it in her mouth or started chewing?" Or just put it in her mouth and started chewing.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that we talk, like, you're supposed to scrape. That artichoke, also a difficult food to eat.
So
like,
much
you're supposed
work.
To scrape it with your teeth.
Terrible.
That's not
for
attractive.
Your teeth.
Pull that out of your mouth, leave it down there. But at the same time,
and
I feel like
if you have teeth or whatever, you have some weird, you're like, I see what your teeth
look
marks
how your
are.
Teeth are crooked. You got some kind of overbite situation. But then also, I feel like you're not going to die if you just gazelle it. You know what I mean? You just eat the whole thing.
It's not easy. Like, the fiber, it would be really hard.
But you're not going to die. I'm saying it's not poisonous.
I guess
it's interesting as human beings what we decide what we can and can't eat. Like, for instance, those leaves that are near your school fence that everybody says you're not supposed to eat. Those are poisonous. Remember, did you ever have that when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Everybody
says, sour
you
leaves?
Can't eat those. You
sour
can't eat those.
Flowers?
I never knew what they were. They were just things that were there that the teachers decided to be lazy and say, you're not supposed to eat that because for whatever reason they think, you know what, third graders, we will not touch any vegetable, but if it's on a tree in a playground, we want to eat that stuff like
crazy.
Yeah,
you got to put that in your mouth. I wonder if they were sour flowers, which is what we call them in our neighborhood, that were this like milky flower that when you would
the
bite
white
it,
one,
yeah, and it would
everybody was eating those.
It would burn your. It was sour. It was naturally very sour. It was like eating a lemon, but uh-huh. some reason that was the cool thing to do.
Maybe I'm thinking somebody said it tasted. I never had a desire to eat any of that stuff, but now as an old person, I know that you could eat anything. There's no. My son swallowed a rock. Is what I'm saying.
How have we gone this long?
And he pooped it out. We did discuss it already.
Oh,
we did it real briefly with Matt and Chris and all them. But I think
rock
it was them.
Pooping.
Yeah.
He just
pooped it out, and it's no problem. And when I saw that, I'm like, you can eat anything.
You know, there's a guy that ate an entire airplane piece by piece.
Yeah.
What is that all about?
I've heard about it. There's also people who eat cars.
He ate a whole engine.
You grind it up down, you put a little sprinkle of it on your cereal or whatever, and then after so much time, you've essentially eaten an engine.
I don't understand.
Adam Carolla uses that as a euphemism for life, that if you take things piece by piece, like little tiny bit, like if you think about it, you can eat an entire 72 Cadillac if you grind it up into little teaspoon morsels and just eat it over years and years and years. He said
they die of cancer at age 48, but
I don't think you do, though. I think that it's so small. Like, if you add it every meal, you know what I mean, and it was a substantial amount, then yeah, it could start to affect you. But if you think about it, the amount of particulates in a finely ground down piece of an engine, right? Compared to what you just breathe.
Well, I'm talking
while
about
driving
guys that...
by guys blowing the grass and stuff and whatever tire pieces are in the street while
Fair
they're
enough.
Cleaning up the leaves.
But I'm talking about guys that eat lug nuts.
And that lives in your lungs. Your lungs don't really get cleaned out. They just kind of it sits there until it rots out and your body tries to ingest it. Your digestive system, weirdly enough, doesn't take in anything that it can't take in, and it just passes it. It just poops it out. So I think you're safer is what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to broccoli the hell out of this. You're safer eating an airplane engine than walking down the streets on an early Tuesday morning while the Mexican dudes are blowing somebody's lawn.
Yeeg.
You're welcome.
Baseballs. They have layers. They're leather.
Yeah, but I just feel like an artichoke is a better.
Yeah, it's probably.
You're complex like an artichoke.
Thanks. All right, you ready to do the introduction to the show?
Yeah, sure. What do you want to talk about on this episode?
I have no idea. I want to talk about this guy right here.
Richard D'Ello.
Oh, we were way off. Let's hear it again.
Richard D'Ello.
Richard D'Ello. That makes sense. That was what you had, Richard D'Ello.
I was trying to say Richard D'Ello.
Both
or Ricciatello, I think, is what I was trying
John
to say.
Ricciatello.
Is this going to tie into, because we teased
the bad
reviews on SimCity.
Is this ever?
Okay.
He is the punchline to that whole thing.
Really?
Okay, so as you recall from earlier in the week, we were discussing the beautifully amazingly handcrafted SimCity.
Yeah.
One of the things that I did not mention before because of time that is a huge addition to it is I saw this at E3 last year, is that the roads are not perpendicular to each other. Like, you can build roads in any direction you want.
Okay.
You can build roads in circles. You can build a...
I saw that as an example where they had like a circular...
Yeah, okay. I have a circular town. You can make a city in the shape of a guitar. You can do whatever you want. Draw it however you want. It's gorgeous. It's so finally. If you remember,
and Richard Tilo didn't do this.
Oh gosh! So the very first SimCity for the Super Nintendo. Did you ever play that?
No.
Back in the day. So they didn't have the algorithm quite down right. But the way the game worked the best, because it was on a flat surface, is if you replaced all your roads with railroads, built them in 9 squares. Around, so you had, because you can only build squares, so you did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 all the way around of whatever thing, industrial, commercial, or whatever the third one would be, and then inside that circle, yeah, would be a special, like a police building or a fire or a medical, whatever it is. So there was actually no real logic to the game, but that was the puzzle that you would, if you formed it, that's how you would win at the game.
That would be the Donkey Kong kill screen.
That's the best way to build a city, according to SimCity, was to build this square.
All railroads, no regular roads.
And then so you have a police station without a connecting road to it. That was the way to build the best city. So the game got a lot smarter over the years, and now finally, without Will Wright involved, you finally could build a game. And then when you put the residential or the zones on it, they match up exactly to the road. So the road dictates where the zones are, mm-hmm. and they won't build unless they're attached to the road, and they follow the curve of whatever road that you build. We should play it when you're done.
Okay.
So you tease that.
When I'm done doing this podcast?
Yes.
Am I by myself right now?
Yeah. I'm not.
Are we both the guy from Fight Club?
Yes.
Have I been talking to myself for the entire time?
You're just now. Oh, you can't realize it, otherwise you have to shoot yourself. Did you not see the end of that movie?
Oh, man, I don't even have a gun.
You do.
It's going to be expensive.
I do, which means you do.
Oh.
You also have 2 wives and 4 children.
Oh, wow. Ugh, 2 was enough. Yikes.
I'm waiting for you to do the math and realize that it should be 3, and then there was a whole...
No, your wife is pregnant.
Bam, bam, bam! Wait, what do I know?
That's what I thought.
So, I gotta go.
What if I impregnated your wife, though? That's why you knew but didn't know.
Are we high right now? Because I think that's the only way this would make sense.
Dude, this episode is getting artichokey. I'm crazy.
Peel back the layers. Oh, we found the new name of the show. So the reason it has you listed some figure that it has a number of 1 stars and a number of 5
stars.
Yeah,
on Amazon I was looking because I was going to buy it, and then it said, I just noticed the reviews, and it says that 5-star reviews are 101, 4-star reviews are 68, 3-star reviews are 53, 2-star reviews are 112, so that's still more than 5-star, 1-star reviews 1,938.
Yeah, EA. Oh, EA.
I've been able to log 2 hours of play out of many hours waiting in a server queue since the game launched 3 days ago. Game requires internet connection, but you can't be connected to their servers. Don't buy this game until EA fix this problem.
There
or
you
my
go.
Grammar.
So, yeah, for the first week of this game's launch, there was no accessing it. You would boot it up, you'd stare at the load-in screen.
Wow.
And then it would say, getting close, and then it would just kick you back out
to
the load-in screen.
So, do you want to hear the most popular review on Amazon?
Oh.
That people have found the most helpful?
Yeah, well, it's probably outdated, because the problem has been solved.
Well, they have an update. That's why I asked.
Yes, please. I love... Would you do it in your most elegant voice?
Guess what? If you'd love to experience the nonstop thrills and excitement of SimCity, then please remove $60 from your bank and promptly pay someone to kick you repeatedly in the friggin' mouth. I find it incredibly mind-boggling that I spent $60 on something that I can't even log in to play. My first city that I spent some time on was lost forever due to the server issues at EA. Oh, and forget trying to get a quick game in when your server, where you save resides, is either full or busy. I only wanted to play a quick game, completely solo, and I'm forced to wait and wait and wait and wait. And don't believe the 20 to 30 minute timer. Sometimes even that is incorrect. Shame on you, EA. For the last 10 years, I have watched you slowly turn this industry into a wasteland.
And now in your latest attempt in trying to stick to your corporate policy of crushing anything that closely resembles the human spirit, you have turned SimCity into a $60 30-minute countdown and server status app. Awesome. I spent this money because I still wanted to support Maxis. After all, I grew up with a lot of Maxis games that I absolutely loved. Still do. But this is probably one of the dumbest things EA and Maxis could have ever done. It's possible. It is, if it's possible for me to even get a refund, I want it. We're only really paying for a product key that lets us use completely unusable servers, invalidate the key, and refund money. So EA, do you plan on letting any of us honest people actually play this game? Avoid this game until EA either removes the DRM completely or allows offline play and saves. This game is nothing more than an example on how a company can both rip off and alienate its fan base. Update.
Did you write that review? That was a great cold read. That was really good.
Yeah, no, that was all really I read good. Was the first line.
Very impressed.
Keep going.
Here's the update. For those here who purchased the game through Amazon, I contacted them and they refunded the cost of the game and removed it from my library for me. This is why I will always be loyal to companies like Amazon, which cares about its customers, and no longer to companies like EA, who would rather make people jump through hoops than actually go out of their way for a customer. I suggest anyone else here contact Amazon and get your money back as well, so that EA can begin to take notice when they're suddenly having to pay a lot of their ill-gotten money back to their customers. Vote with your wallets, people. We have the power to change companies or bring them down if they refuse to change. We have that power.
That's the only update. That's it.
What's that guy's name?
That guy's name is Kyle.
Well, Kyle, you should buy the game because the servers work now. I think a lot of games face this problem. All the servers base, all the MMOs. Like, if you're no stranger to MMO, I think Guild Wars was the closest we ever saw to a clean launch. Star Wars, when it first came out, DC Universe Online, World of Warcraft, all of these games, when they first launch, take forever to load into, and for them to not think that, for EA to think that they got this from the beginning was probably silly, but for people to think like that, like, oh, they owe me one, like, no, they're just a company. They didn't know what was coming.
Well, I'm sorry that I laughed, but while you were saying this, I was looking for another update for somebody who had said, hey guys, it's fixed. Like, that's what I was looking for. This is another person whose name is Joseph, and he says, update number two. I just learned of another joy. No subways! Why, oh why, would you have a SimCity game, or any city simulator for that matter, where you can't build subway systems? Seriously, this was included in SimCity 2000 over 15 years ago, and now in 2013, subways disappear? This is the type of ludicrous logic I just cannot grasp.
People have too much time on their hands. I think that's a valid point. It is a good question. I thought it was missing, but there are expansion packs. There are game updates. There are all sorts of ways that they can incorporate.
Somebody wrote a review that they're glad they're a Mac user and did not have the ability to get the game. That was a review they wrote on it.
They should be. I think, because if you did buy it, if I was anybody that got it day of launch and I took it home and had that problem, I'd be disappointed too, but I wouldn't have returned the game.
Yeah.
It's such an incredibly smart game. And talk about...
So you had the same issue, but you were like, they're going to work
this out. I got it a week later.
I'm just going to walk away.
So my positive review of Amazon isn't as high. I purchased StarCraft, Heart of the Swarm, and SimCity 5 all at the same time because they were released one day, 1 week after the other. And I paid for slowest amount of shipping, which is no shipping, or not paying for any shipping. And I waited and waited and waited because SimCity came out first, StarCraft came out second, and SimCity was not arriving and not arriving and not arriving. And we had planned to go out of town on a Friday, and that was the last day that it was supposed to arrive. So on like Wednesday, I actually got on customer support chat window with Amazon and said, hey, I just want to confirm here, you plan to send these two shipments separately? Because I was okay with leaving for my trip without StarCraft. I wasn't expecting to get it until later in the week because of its release date. But we are now almost, it was almost 10 days after the release date of SimCity. I'm like, I should be able to have this game by now. And they're like, oh no, we promise, even though I ordered them both before they were released, so it sees them on one ticket. He said, no, I have it in writing. I said, would you? They said, no, we plan to send them as separate shipments when they're available. I said, great, can you send me a copy of this chat to my email? Absolutely. Sure as anything. That Friday, like literally waiting for all week for
before
this.
Before you can get the car to go.
And we packed up the car on a Friday afternoon or Thursday afternoon, had everything loaded, and literally still waiting for the postman to see if SimCity would arrive. I walked outside just to see if I could catch him, and he walked right up to me. It was like perfect timing, and he handed me the box from Amazon. I opened it up, and sure enough, SimCity and StarCraft were inside
wow.
the box. Despite the fact that they said they weren't going to send them, they sent that. So it was like a bummer, and I wanted to complain because I had them right in writing, because had they sent them separately, I would have gotten SimCity earlier in the week. They were waiting till StarCraft, but the truth was I got StarCraft days before they even said it would arrive. They said it would arrive like 2 days
later. They split the difference on you.
Yeah, and I was like, okay. And since I got them and I went on our trip without a problem, I was like, that's fine. So long story, uselessly long story short, I got the game after all of the EA login errors had happened, and I was able to get it. I've never had a problem. I turn it on, and I go right to my server. But the best part is, after that weekend, they sent me another email and said, we thank you to all of our patient mayors. Because you've been so patient with us as we figure out this server launch of a highly anticipated game, you know, and kind of like reframing his point of like, this happened because the game was really popular and we're thankful that you're popular and that you like it. We're going to give you a free game. So now I own Mass Effect 3.
Really?
Yeah. There it is. So they had like six games that you could choose from.
I just
from.
Started playing that. It's great.
I can't wait.
Have you played any of the Mass Effect games?
I played half of the first one. But the point is I got this sweet game for free, and I didn't have to. I never encountered one inch of angst.
And it's digital download, right? So you're not going to get it for PS3.
No, it won't be on the PS3.
That's what. Here's the thing, like, because as somebody who sells things online for my own business, that costs them nothing.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
You know, maybe they have to pay out to a private developer. Like, I don't. BioWare is owned by EA.
They are now. Yeah. More on that in a moment.
So anyway, it's not like it costs them anything. They're not paying for the hard copies of the DVDs or anything, and it just saves everything. Like, it just
makes
everybody go,
happy.
Oh, okay, I'm good.
It's exactly what PlayStation did after their server crashes a couple years ago. Got you two free games, games you probably already had on your shelf, whatever it works. And I think it's great, you know, and I was hoping that they would upgrade me to that digital deluxe version of the game. But then I realized, I'm like, well, it makes more sense for them to choose from a library of games that I already didn't, that they already have, that aren't being sold, because I would have bought that game by now if I really wanted it, but I'll take it for free. I mean, it's a triple, quadruple A game, and I just haven't tapped into it yet.
And this whole digital market, like, I it's so interesting to me that it's moving as slowly as it seems to be moving. Like, I just feel like it would be a flash in the pan and be done, because on the producer's end, like, if you're a content generator, it increases your profit margin by so much.
I know, it's brilliant.
Like, it's insane. There's no expense.
I stopped you. Three, no. Two, one. Well, let's pause on that topic because I don't think we've discussed the new PS4 on our show yet. So we are long overdue for that.
We've mentioned it, but not.
Yeah, but not. So we can dissect it a little more and talk about our.
We got to get back to Richitilo.
Yeah, how to pronounce it? I've forgotten how to pronounce
Richitilo.
It.
Richitilo.
Richitilo.
Yes, Richitilo. Thank you. That's pronouncehow.com. Did you know that was a thing?
Nope.
Knows anything. So John Richitilo, it was the president or CEO of EA for 8 years. Now, he was a member of EA, and then he left and became the president of BioWare, and then got and reworked his company at BioWare to become a part of EA. Mm-hmm. Because EA is a publisher, and they work with several developers, so they made BioWare under the thing. So he's been in seat, and I wish I could pull up his exact timeline. Actually, maybe Wikipedia will have it. But he helped launch several big games over the past few years, since, I think, 97? You know, hit
well,
pause.
Last 8
give
years.
Me a pause.
Okay.
Give me a pause.
And we're back.
Thank you. Thank you for the pause. We have to take a break every episode. I just wanted to pull up the facts so I wasn't like... And then there was this other thing that he did, and I can't really remember it. But yeah, so he was the president or the CEO of EA from 2007 to two weeks ago. Yeah. And he resigned, and it was... The timing of it was ridiculous, because it was like all the SimCity debacle, people super mad at EA, and then... After they solve that problem that Monday, and he's resigning.
Wow.
Yeah, and people definitely, it's hard to say, like, it's all his fault, but it's hard if you're a shareholder to not say, yeah, it's kind of this guy's fault. Like, we are getting slammed right now.
So it really isn't a situation where some third tier level programmers like, hey, we wrote the programming wrong for the servers and they can't handle the bandwidth.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it, but you have to take it to a problem like this, like that guy's rant, he doesn't know it, but he keeps saying, boo, EA, I hate you, EA. And he really is directing his angst at the company as a whole. So who's responsible for that? Like the vision and direction of it is your CEO. And that's, you know, I think we can get into nerd rage. We begin to think of companies as people and forget that they're actually are people that work there as opposed to the mass of them.
But I guess my question is it something that he is directly involved in, or is it just because he is the head of it?
It's both. Because, while you're right, I think your question is like, no, he didn't design the server frame network, but he is the one, he's the captain of the ship. So he's the one that said, this is the direction I want to take this. This is a huge title. So he definitely was involved with some aspect of it. And at the end of the day, he's responsible for motivating, directing, and guiding his teams at every level. So for him not to be able to gauge, like, maybe we need to push this back, or what will happen if we push this launch title of one of our biggest titles in our library of games, then how will that affect the big picture? And, you know, had that been the only thing, then probably we wouldn't have seen his resigning. But you got to think of all the stuff that's gone down since his career. It's almost like a president can't, like, you know, we vote in this new president and things go to hell. And really, it was the president before him's fault. Like, he was kind of laying his own tracks over all this time, because he's been in office, if you can call it an office, for 7 years. Knights of the Old Republic, or Star Wars The Old Republic, was just released 2 years ago, and it's already free to play. Like, that is a giant problem, because they were 2 years before that. This is where I can say that this is his fault, because he's in charge of looking at the market, assessing what is necessary for the curve, and figuring out what's going to make everybody the most money. And for the longest time, Old Republic was going to be the World of Warcraft killer. Yeah. That was going to be the game that was going to destroy. Like, no one will play WoW, because now you've got... It made sense back in 2008.
Angry Birds with a Star Wars license.
Yeah. You're like, you looked around and like, World of Warcraft was the number one game in the universe. Everybody was paying, like, MMOs were blowing up all over the place. And they were done by these, like, okay licenses. And you go, we're going to take one of the greatest developers on Earth, BioWare. We're going to attach one of the most popular franchises of all time, Star Wars,
to a market that is directly connected to the people already playing World of Warcraft.
And we're going to create a storyline with full voice. Like, everything about it sounded like this is the game of all games. Had it been released in 2008, probably, like, that would have shaped everything. But for it to come out in 2010 or 11, whenever it finally hit the shelves, the market had dipped. People, the consumers had moved on from subscription-based MMOs, and it was too late that they couldn't shift the weight of how the product was being created and the revenues. So consumers were just not interested in paying $15 a month for. I mean, the truth about an MMO is, like, you play it and then you're like, I'm either into it or I'm not into it. And there's just so many other places where you can spend money. He should have been able to see that coming, you know. And then they've gone in this article here on Game of Sutra talks about how for several years they had tried to go toe to toe with Activision, which is probably the other biggest publisher, and they just keep losing on every front. Like, every, you know, and you look at what Activision has done with Skylanders, and it's laughable at this point. It's like, it's a little like Cuba going up against
mega blocks of it.
Yeah, come on. That, I don't know if I've talked about on this, but they have grossed $500 million on Skylanders in the year and a half that it's been on the shelves. $500 million. What is Like, help me out. Put that in, like, what is California?
That's $500 million.
Oh, thank you.
Like, is that what not is the help you're looking
what
for?
Is something that's $500 million?
$500 million.
Like the budget for the aerospace program. Like, what is $500 million?
That's interesting because, I mean, California was just in $9 trillion of debt.
Okay.
So that would be a horrible example.
That's a terrible example. Like, what does the NFL make? What's a franchise in the NFL? What do you
expect? Well, like the usual salary cap for a team is around $100 million for an NFL team.
For all the players on a team?
For the players on an NFL team.
That's just the players.
They've made more than enough to pay the salaries on an NFL team. Five times over, I guess you could say. Let me look that up real quick.
That's pretty good. NFL. Off of toys.
Yeah.
Off of the worst DLC model you've ever seen.
I'm trying to figure out because I think it's still different for each teams, each of the teams.
Right.
This might be a thing where I have to pause for two.
Well, it's okay. Okay, sure, pause it.
So, yeah, so I was right, is that the NFL salary cap for 2013 is $123 million.
So that's just the players.
So that's, yeah, to play, yeah.
So it'd be interesting to know, like, the net worth of an entire team. But that's the kind of money that this
in a market. If you had $500 million, I think you could be competitive in buying an NFL team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that we could. Yeah, that's what Activision could do at this point, off of
one
toys.
Product, one
yeah.
one,
one idea.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's so hilarious because that's someone at Activision giving Toys for Bob the chance to go, well, you know what? Retail is just not the future. We don't see retail making the money that it. I mean, everything's going digital, right? Apple App Store, mm-hmm. digital download, everything you and I just talked about. Like, that's the future, you know. And if Toys for Bob had come to EA and said, "We got this great idea," they'd have been like, "Yeah, no, that's not the future." And Activision's like, "Yeah, we'll take a shot at this $500 million." So yeah, it's. When you knew, if you knew the whole dynamic of the CEO world of video game friend, it didn't. You saw it coming. Like that's what a lot of articles I've read of. Like, yeah, we kind of knew. And then this EA.
Well, for
thing.
Me, if you compared it to to stick to the NFL analogy, is that if you compare it to the head coach of a team or even the general manager of a team, although head coach is more of a face, I guess, of it, is that if all of a sudden you go from being, you know, a Super Bowl contender to being a what they call a 500 team, which basically means you have the same number of wins that you have of losses, then you're on your way out.
You're gone.
It's like, see you later. Thanks,
and
but no thanks.
They've dropped to a 500 team. So now it'll be
interesting. And the equivalent of Skylanders would be somebody saying, hey, listen, we've got this guy.
Yeah.
And it's say it's RG3 or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We think that we should get him on our team, and you're being the guy. You're the guy that goes, nope. No, that's not, you know what we're going to do? We're going to bring Trent Dilfer out of retirement. He's got a ring, and he knows how to win Super Bowls. So thanks, but no thanks. So there.
That was really funny, if you do football. 1%
I've been watching
audience.
A lot of NFL Network.
I can tell.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm sorry.
No, that's it. That's all I have to say about that. So just fascinating, and it'll be interesting to see what happens to EA, I think, as we look to.
Do they have a successor already
not
named?
Yet. I think they have someone in the interim, of mm-hmm. course. That's the ironic part, is that the previous CEO who retired and named this guy as his successor, when he retired, has come out of retirement in order
He's
to
Steve Jobs in it
to limp the company back along.
I hope his pancreas is okay.
Oh, too soon.
What happened?
You talked.
Huh? About what? What was I saying?
What is the future of EA? This has been the episode called The Artichoke.
Give us a call, 408-228-4911, or send us an email to show@secondfunniespodcast.com. But even bigger than that, throw us a like at facebook.com/secondfunniestpodcast. Follow us on the Twitter @secondfunniest. But even bigger than that, join the conversation at facebook.com/IWantSlyCooper in his own animated series. The more likes we get up there, the more chance that we will have of creating a wonderful game into a wonderful animated series. And it'll be awesome.
I can't
and
wait.
You could say, hey, I did that. You could tell your grandkids, and your grandkids
like,
could tell
like
their children.
It's like a Kickstarter that doesn't cost you any money.
Right. It's just a click. The only thing it costs you is it's really 0.00001 0% chance of creating carpal tunnel. That's all it costs you. That's all we're asking for this thing that costs $2,000 for us to do.
We've almost got 1,300 likes.
Yeah, boom goes the dynamite. Ami, my good friend, is just what I'm saying. Okay, bye.